When the music came, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I bring you more than a song.
Our scripture comes from 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 8th through the 13th verse today. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulgent in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women of worthy respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus.
I shall see.
Share with you this passage of Scripture, rather controversial, the whole subject of deacons, whether a church needs deacons today. You know, I won't get into that discussion. In our church, we believe that deacons are to be used in the church. We believe that it's found in the New Testament. Certainly, the passage here is not the only passage. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, you may recall that in Acts chapter 6, it tells about the election of seven men. They were all men. It doesn't mean, of course, that only men were to be servants in the church, and we're all called to be servants. They were given this responsibility because of the administrative needs of the church. It was felt that there was a need to have this special group of people called the deacons that would take some of the burden away from the those that taught the word. The word deacon itself means servant. It sounds quaint and antiquated to our ears today. A lot of churches no longer have deacons. They have a board of elders or something similar to that. But what does the word deacon mean? Well, it's found here. Deacons, it says, likewise, should be worthy of respect. And we're going to look at that passage there, beginning at verse 8. The word deacon, there's some controversy over exactly what it means, but if you look at the passage in Acts chapter 6 that tells about the appointment of these seven, the reason was it was considered that those who taught the word should not have to take care of every minute detail in the church. And there became this problem with some of the widows. They had a special class called widows. These were people who were destitute. They didn't have Social Security in those days or other means to take care of these widows. And so they had this special class of people called widows, and they were not being ministered to. And so God directed, it seems very clearly, that God directed in the establishment of this group. They weren't really called deacons there, but the term diakonos, it's actually a verb form of the word that's translated, that's found here, deacon, which is a noun. But it means to serve at tables. And that phrase is actually found there in Acts chapter 6. Remember that if you've read that passage. Well, a deacon is called to serve. Some other ideas of what that might mean, I found in a Greek lexicon where one authority thought that this word came from the word which means to pursue. Dioko is the Greek word that means to pursue. But most believe that the word came to mean a waiter at a table, like in a restaurant, a waiter at a table. One who serves is the idea. So with that in mind, and I've given the title of this message, Called to Serve. Certainly we're all called to serve. We remember the time that Jesus, before he went to his death on Calvary, the Bible says that in the upper room he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, as I have done for you, so shall you do for one another. You are, in other words, you are to be servants of one another. He stressed over and over that the greatest among you, he said, shall be as one who serves. So a deacon is called to serve. What lessons can we learn in this scripture passage about the New Testament office of deacon? First of all, we have the lesson regarding their reputation. If we could look there at verse 8, it says, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect. Now the word there that's translated, I believe, sincere, is actually the word that means not double-tongued. In other words, he doesn't say one thing and really show that he means something else by what he does. A hypocrite, in other words. He's not to be a hypocrite. A man worthy of respect. His life should match his words, in other words. That's the idea. They are to have respect. A man who inspires respect by his conduct and deportment is the idea here, I believe. Literally not double-tongued. That's the literal meaning of the Greek. But someone who is respected by those who know him. And it's understood that a deacon would be a man. Now, we're going to get down into the passage there. And I know there are things here that are controversial. But it talks about the wives. And I'm going to address that when we get there. But it assumes that the deacon will be a man. That's what we believe as Baptists. We have it written into our bylaws that way, that we believe that it goes back to what the Scripture teaches here. Not that the man is to be domineering or to be, that there's anything intrinsically better in a man over a woman. But God has created an orderly world. He has created order. We are to be, for example, respectful of our government, even if we don't agree with it. God wants us to be a respectful people. And so there's an idea of respect here. There's an idea of restraint where it says that he's not addicted to wine. This says not addicted to wine. That says not indulging in much wine. That's the New International Version up there on the screen. This is a little different than what my translation says, not addicted to wine. It just means that he's not to be a drunkard, not to be known as one who does not have self-restraint. Obviously, if Christ is in our lives, then we want to be like Jesus. Sober, grave, or other terms, if you have a King James Version here. But the idea, clearly, is that this is a man who should be respected, who should show restraint, and whose reward should not be monetarily. It says, and not pursuing dishonest gain. Now, I don't know that that's possible in our churches. Although in some churches, the deacons are given more authority to manage the finances and the business affairs of the church. I'm not sure that that's what God intended when he elected or led the church in the book of Acts to appoint these seven who were to be like administrators over the affairs of the church, the ministry of the church, in other words. Clearly, here is a man who has a reputation. We should look for the best, I believe, is what God's Word would instruct us there. There's the idea of a reputation, their religion. What about their religion? Well, first of all, they are to be men of conviction. Oh, I don't know whether I told you, maybe not all of you are aware, but we're going to have a deacon ordination this Saturday at 10:30. We're going to ordain two of our newer deacons, Don, a very young man, of course. He's been around for a while, been around the block a few times, but never been ordained, right? Don is a deacon. But you're willing. I can tell by your demeanor. So Don and Gary Palmer are going to be ordained. We want you to come, 10:30 this Saturday morning. Before that, we're going to have a breakfast just for the deacons and wives. I'm sorry you can't come to that. But we're going to have a potluck dinner then, a week from today. Isn't that something to look forward to? My stomach's already growling thinking about that. So next Sunday, a big day. Brother Clyde is going to bring the message Sunday morning. So, again, I want you to be present. If you can, on Saturday, too, at 10:30, when we'll have the ordination. What about his religion? Well, he should be a man of conviction. If we look at verse 9 there, it says, they must hold the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. Now, the Greek there literally says mystery. Now, if you have a King James Version, I believe it says mystery. Holding the mystery of the faith. I think it means that this individual is to be in awe of the truths of God. He's to be in awe of God and of His Word. There's to be a reverence about his life when it comes to the Word of God. He is to be a man of conviction. You know, this is something that stands out in the world today. There just don't seem to be that many who have strong convictions when it comes to matters of faith. But here's an individual who should be the exception, if you will, a man of conviction. There's a creed as well. It says that he is to hold the truths of the mysteries of the truths of God. That word hold is simply a word that means to have or to possess. In other words, it's to be something that he owns, something that he doesn't just believe that it's as good as any other system of belief. It's something that he has a deep conviction about, that the Word of God is the Word of God, that the Bible is not just a collection of myths and fables, but it is the very Word of God. So here's a man who holds to a creed. He believes in the creed of the Bible, that the Bible is the Word of God. And he is to be also a man of conscience. A man of conscience. It seems that today we have many who Paul described as having their consciences seared as with a hot iron. There are people like that who nothing really seems to be right or wrong. I think we've been taught that in our evolutionary thinking and teachings in our schools, that we're just simply a higher form of evolution. Well, who's to say we're higher? We could be lower. But if we have a conscience, we're going to stand out. If we believe something, if we stand for something. Here it says they hold the truths of God with a clear conscience. Benjamin Franklin, he didn't speak the Bible, but he said some things that were very poignant and I believe true. He said a clear conscience is a continued Christmas. I remember back when I was a young man, and I know it's remembering a long time ago, but I seem to remember those things better as the older I get. I remember way back there, but I don't remember what happened yesterday necessarily. But I remember how I eagerly looked forward to Christmas and how, what a joyful time it was. Well, here's a man who has a free conscience. He's not troubled by when he lays his head on the pillow at night that he didn't do the right thing, that he hasn't made things right. And we don't always do the right thing. None of us do. We have the wonderful privilege as Christians to confess our sins to the Lord. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here clearly is a man who walks with God, who believes in the Word of God and who follows His Word in his life with a clear conscience. What can we know about his relations or their relations, the relations of deacons? If we look there at verse 11, it says wives. Now this translation just says wives. It doesn't necessarily say their wives. Now I have to mention this, that in the Greek, the word is literally women. And so some have supposed that this is the deaconesses. You know that there are groups who believe that there are should be deaconesses just as there are deacons. However, I am inclined to think that most translations translate it, that these are the deacon wives. And not just women in general, because this statement here is sandwiched in between right in this passage that talks about deacons. So most understand this to mean the women, the wives of the deacons. And so there are duties here for the, if you agree with that, and if that's the correct interpretation, which I'm inclined to believe it is, then it's speaking about the wives of the deacons, worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. And so that's the marital relation. The deacon wife is as important as the deacon. And there is a familial relation that is spoken of here. Familial meaning the family. What about his family? Well, it says that deacons are to be the husbands of one wife, managing their children and their households competently. And I'm sure you know there's controversy about what constitutes one wife. I think that the Bible is a little bit ambiguous here. I think to be dogmatic about one view over another, there are those who would say, for example, that this means that they're not to be polygamous, that they're not to have multiple wives. That's possible. Certainly that would be included. I think it would violate what our Lord taught. And I want to just remind you that Jesus set the bar very high when he said that when he was asked about divorce, and he said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, quoting from the book of Genesis, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain, the two of them, shall be one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So that's the standard that Jesus set. And so I believe we need to keep that in mind when we read this. A husband of one wife. Not a serial marriage. You know, there are people who think nothing wrong with living together and having multiple partners and so forth. I believe that would certainly be excluded. So a man who holds marriage in very high honor and esteem, obviously, is the idea. Familial relations, vocational relations. If we could look there at verse 13, it says that those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So a man who is honorable in every way, not perfect. If God were looking for perfect people, he would look, I suppose, at the angels. Angels cannot be deacons. So God obviously has to use imperfect people. But people who have been, whose hearts have been touched by him, people of conviction, people of honor, people of respect. So I want to encourage you to study the passage here especially, and there are other passages. If you have a concordance, study it on your own. Find out for yourself what God is teaching us here about this important subject of the deacon ministry. And I'm sure that Brother Clyde is going to have more to say about this weekend. I hope I didn't take what he was going to say to you. But if I did, I'm sure it'll reinforce what God wants to say to us. In conclusion, I would just say that a deacon, again, is called to serve. And I love the hymn, and I want to read it to you. I don't think we sing it, so I didn't think we'd try to sing it today, but I love the words of the hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. And I think this is so appropriate for this subject of the deacon ministry, but for all of us are called to serve. And the words are, O Master, the words of a prayer, O Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care.